But I'm excited to share with you a good word this morning. We've been on our word for the year, our phrase, right? What is it? What's the word?
Launch.
And the phrase is launch into the deep. From anyone know where it's found? What book of the Bible? What verse? All right, good, good. Use your clues. You can use your clues. Open book test. Luke 5:4. So launch out into the deep, and we're going to be doing that. We are, as I shared, this is the year that I'm launching out of AT&T, launching full-time ministry here. I want to lead by example in doing that, but I feel like there's that word is not just for me. It's for all of us in this room. There's things that God wants us to launch into. And what I want to look at specifically this morning is my title for this morning's message is Launch into Deeper Waters. And I know we've talked about this a while already, but I just want to hone on this a little bit more about deeper water. So let's pray. I guess I already got prayed over by Nick, but I'm going to pray again really quick. So Lord, I thank you that you have a good word. I pray that we would have ears to hear and that your spirit would speak and that we would live by every word that proceeds from your mouth. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to talk to you about a few things, a few passages. I have way more notes than I'm going to get to, so it's probably good that I'm going to slow down a few times and pause and look and see where I'm supposed to be and what I'm skipping, because I will skip a lot, but I need to make sure I'm tracking on all that. Before I get into any Bible verse or get anything else, I want to show you, I got some kids in the room, so we're going to show you a little movie clip from Disney. Cliffhanger. You have to watch the movie to find out what happens. But I wanted to show that clip because I want to speak to some of that. We've been talking about, you saw the beginning of that little clip. She believed there was more beyond the reef. And there was happy music and she's excited. She knows she's destined to go out past the waves, out into the deep. And she knows it's an exciting word, right? But then she realized, oh, there's opposition to get out into the deep. There's waves. There's things that are coming against me that don't want me to get out into the deep. And I want to talk to that this morning. I think that's a prophetic little video clip right there. It's not just a cute little kids movie. There's something about what God is saying that even to me, as I heard this word, launch. I'm excited to launch. But we need to be aware with eyes wide open that the enemy does not want us to be in deep waters. And what are those deep waters? That's greater intimacy with God. There's things that God wants. There's more of God. There's always more of God. And he's saying, would you come after me, the more after me? But there's things where the enemy sees you going after more of God. He's going to come against you. And so I want to make sure that I'm giving you the full picture of this. It doesn't mean this year is just going to be everything easy and everything's just going to be handed to us and everything's going to be perfect. No, there's waves that come against you. There's a real enemy. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. There's a spiritual force of wickedness that wants to take you out. And we need to be aware of that. And I know that's kind of a heavy word for a cute little Disney movie, but I thought it was so profound. She just kept saying it. I know there's more out there. I know there's more. And she felt called. There's the call of the ocean, right? And I do not have the call of the ocean. I actually probably have, and I'll say this now, I probably have more fear of the ocean than anything else. I've gone skydiving. I've gone, I don't know, all kinds of things. But water is one of those things where actually I have a very healthy fear of. I've seen pictures. I almost put some pictures up. I've seen pictures. Have you ever seen those ones of a single kayaker out in the ocean? And there's like a huge whale right underneath them. That freaks me out. I'm like, no, thank you. I'll jump out of an airplane any day. Don't put me on that kayak. I just don't like, in fact, I'll even share this. The most scared I've ever been, actually, was when I was in college, which, you know, that's like your like prime. Like, I can do anything. And so I went to Egypt. When I was studying in Israel, I took a little trip to Egypt, and we were in the Red Sea, and there was this great place to go scuba diving, and I've never even been snorkeling before. And so a couple of buddies of mine that were from the States, and I think from Canada, they had their license in scuba diving. And so they're like, yeah, let's go. I'm like, all right, cool. And so we go down there. But of course, it's in Egypt. And so they just... I go to rent the gear, and the guy goes, you all been snorkeling before, or snorkeling, scuba diving? I'm like, no, I haven't. He goes, oh, okay, no problem. And he brings me over, and he puts a five-minute video, VHS video, and it's like half in English, half in Arabic. He says, all right, you're good now. Go. I'm like, wait, no, like in the States, you get certified. Like, you go to weeks of training. He just handed me all the stuff. He says, all right, go. And so I go with like three or four other guys, and as soon as we get in the water, they just take off. I'm like, I've never breathed air underwater before, not even with a snorkel. I'm like, I don't know how to do this. And so I'm freaking out. And so I just remember I had all the gear I rented. I'm in the water and I was this close. Everything was me. He's like, yeah, just go back. Turn it all back in. You wasted your time. But I had to press into that fear. I was like, no, I got to do it. So I did. The end of the story is I did go snorkeling or scuba diving and had to blow your ears, get pressure and go deeper and deeper. I had a great time, but I still have a very healthy respect for the deep ocean. So it's just funny, that's one of my biggest fears, and it's funny that's what God is using as an analogy of diving into the deep this year. Sorry, I'll probably have to do this several times too. But why am I saying all that? I guess that's what I'm saying is I want you to be aware that as the Lord is calling you to deeper, you're going to encounter waves. You're going to encounter opposition. And some of you are experiencing it now. We could talk about Ross and Jan. We just prayed for Greg and Jan are going through stuff. My family, Jen's brother and mom. And there's all kinds of things going on. And we could just try to write it off in the natural. Here's all the natural consequences of why these things are happening. But no, I'm aware there is a real enemy who really is attacking. And I want us to see that and be aware. And then not to give up. The story, if you've anyone never seen Moana, I think I saw it once when it first came out. She eventually gets out into the deep, right? She eventually goes out and conquers those things, and it's kind of a weird, I don't know, mythological thing. I'm not going to go into all that. But she gets past it, and so the success story of her doing that. But I just wanted to show that man, sometimes life turns you upside down. Sometimes it knocks you in the head. Sometimes it's chaos. But I want us to have a pursuit that, no, I am going out into the deep. I know there's more, and I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. And so that's powerful. That's powerful to do that. And a verse that I think I have for this, just a reminder, is in 1 Peter. It says this, 1 Peter 4:12. Friends, when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. Instead, be glad that you are in the very thick of what Christ experienced. This is a spiritual refining process with glory just around the corner. We need to have a hope. There needs to be a joy set before us. When you're going through the waves, if you don't really have a hope or a joy set before you, you're going to give up. When opposition gets hard and difficult, if the prize isn't worth it, you're not going to stick to it. And I'm telling you, what God is calling us this year, it's worth it. It's worth whatever opposition the enemy has against us. What God is calling us to this year, it's glorious. It's beyond anything we can hope, dream, or imagine. And I'm saying, let's not give up. Let's not get caught up in all the difficulty. And I don't say that. I feel like when I say that, sometimes there might be someone in the room that thinks, yeah, but Pastor, your life is easy. Life is going good. I agree, my life is good. But no one in this room is exempt from going through difficulty. And the enemy will always tell you that your difficulty is unique to you. But I love God's word. It says, man, don't forget that temptation is common to all men. I love that Jesus, it even says Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was tempted in every way. That Jesus knew what it was. Jesus knows your problem like nobody else. He knows what it is, but he still has a joy set before him. He still did things here on earth. He wasn't waiting, well, I'm just getting through life and then one day I'll get to heaven. No, he was more than a conqueror. He was victorious everywhere he went. He had authority, he had power. The enemy submitted to him everywhere he went. The enemy came against him. But eventually the enemy had to submit to him. And that's what I want us to see. There is this hope. There's, what does it say in 2 Corinthians, right? We can be perplexed. We can, but we're not in despair. We can be opposed, but we're not crushed, right? Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed, right? We know that God is for us. We know that there is an end result. I know we say this often. If it's not good yet, God's not done yet. And so I just want to make sure that we're aware that this idea of launch is not just this pie in the sky, everything's going to be easy. No, there's an opposition. There's a real thing that's coming against us. I love this quote. I think it's the next slide. A smooth sea never made a skilled sailor. I had someone share that with me, and they changed it to captain. The first year I became the pastor here, and there was a lot of junk still going on in the church and just chaos and all kinds of things. And someone came up to me and said, you know what, Pastor? Smooth seas never made a good captain. And for whatever reason, that just stuck with me. It's like, yeah, you know what? I got to go through some junk. I got to go through some ways. I have to go through opposition. If life is just easy, I'm not going to mature. I'm not going to grow up. I'm going to stay in infant mode. And I like this idea of getting out into the deep. You know, there's things where in the shallow, in the reef, right, in that cartoon or whatever it is, when I go to the beach, I take my young kids, they go to ankle deep water. When they're 2 years old, you know, you always, even a 1 year old, right? You take them down and they can barely walk. You put their feet and their toes in the water and you have fun in the shallow end. That's fun. As they get older and they can't swim, they stay in the shallow end. You don't let them go out into the waves. But as you get older, it's not okay to stay in the shallow end. It's good. There is a season, a time where we should be in ankle-deep water, where we should be having fun, enjoying the presence of God. You know what? I even saw it today during worship. I have a 9-year-old in the front pew. I love that he can stand and he gets tired, he sits down, and he's a 9-year-old. I'm not expecting him to go all the way deep into the intimacy of God. He's a 9-year-old, but he's being experienced. He's being exposed to the presence of God, and he knows it. He knows who God is. He has a real relationship with God. But there's a difference between my 9-year-old and a 40-year-old, right? There's a difference. I hope there's a difference. But I love the progression. I love even, I'm picking on my kids, they're all in the room this morning. I love that even my 13-year-old, there's a difference. Am I saying that I love Benjamin more? No, I'm not. I love him the same. But there's a difference between a 9-year-old and a 13-year-old. Benjamin has progressed from being 9 years old. He knows the presence of God. We spent time as a family yesterday just praying for an hour. And he came to me afterwards, Dad, I can't believe that was a whole hour. It seemed like just a couple minutes. He's maturing. He's progressing. He knows what it is to be in the presence of God, to get into deeper things where, oh man, that makes me so proud to see that he's matured. And yes, there's always more, but he's getting there. And that's what I feel like God is saying. It's time for some of us in this room to launch out of the shallow end, to go into the deep things of God. It's going to cost you something. There's going to be opposition. There might be some pain. It's going to be not going to be easy, but it's worth it. I promise you, it's worth it. It's worth it. There comes a time when a mature believer must leave the shallow shores and launch into the deep. I love this next verse, Psalm 42, verse 7. It says this, deep calls into deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. Just even seeing that little video passage, hopefully that brings this verse a little bit more. All your waves have come over me. But there's something that's calling me deeper. I've gone through some waves, God. I've gone through some things that are difficult, but I know you're calling me deeper still. And I'm not giving up. Let me ask you a question you might know the answer to. When it's saying deep cries out unto deep, does that mean that God is crying out to you or you are crying out to God? Yes. Yes. Ah, you know the answer. Good. I think it's both. The very first verse, Psalm 42, verse 1, is another famous line. Many of us would sing it. At least I sang it when I was a kid growing up in this church. As the deer pants for water, so my soul longs for you. So this psalm is talking about this deep cry. I think there's many of us in this room, myself included, that we spend too much time with shallow things spoken before God. Communication between God is shallow. We're asking God for things only when we need help. That's our prayer closet. Anytime we need help, God help me. I don't mean this in a mean or rude way. That's a shallow, immature prayer life. God is calling us deeper. There can be even those things that, man, those deep cries. I don't want to just have a relationship with God where it's just flippant. I do. Can I say this? All through the day, sometimes I am. It's not wrong to tell God those immediate needs. You should be doing that. But there should be times where I'm searching my own heart. I'm searching my soul. And what is it that I long for deep inside? And I begin to express those cries. I've had to do some of that soul searching. Even as I had said that I knew that God was calling me to leave my job at AT&T, I had to start thinking deeper, not surface level. Surface level is, the finances are going to be the same. I'm not going to be able to pay for this. That's surface level thinking. But I had to go deeper and say, okay, God, what do I really want? What do I want? Like, what brings me satisfaction? It's not money. What is it that I really want? What do I want to accomplish with my life? As I began to search my own heart and search my soul, the deep things in me, then I began to cry those things out to the Lord. Okay, God, this is what I want. The deep things as a deer pants for water. These are the things I want, God. I don't want a successful career at ATT. I don't want just money to pay for things. God, I want fulfillment in life. I want to know that on my dying deathbed, man, I lived life well. I lived it to its fullest. I did all that God called me to do. I know I talk about this often too. Dennis Prager has a ultimate issues hour once a week. And I love that he says, man, so many times this generation, they don't talk about the deep things. And so he devotes an hour every week to talk about some deep subjects. We need to think about those things. We need to go deep and not just stay in the surface level. But I love that this verse is not just talking about the deep things that we need, that we're wanting from God. That there is a God in heaven who is, right? His love cannot be fathomed. And there's this depth of who God is, that in the deep parts of who God is, He's crying out into the deep parts of you. He wants all of you. He doesn't want an hour and a half on Sunday morning. He wants all of you. Look at a couple other translations of the same passage. New Living Translations. I hear the sound or the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. See, I like this verse in lots of different ways because it stirs up so many things. I don't just get the mental image of opposition, of difficulty, the enemy coming against me. There's also, I can remember being away out of town one day up the coast. And I had opportunity after work just to go to the ocean as the sun was setting. And I went out onto a rock where the water was kind of all around me. And just the waves were crashing over. And I just began to sing that song, "As Your Love Crashes Over Me, Crashes Over Me." Sometimes it's not just the enemy's opposition that's crashing over me. Sometimes it's just God's love. It's His peace that again and again it just crashes over me over and over again. And He's calling me deeper. He's calling me deeper still. And that's why I like International Standard Version says this, "Deep waters calls out to what is deeper still." No matter how mature, how old you are in Christ, there is still deeper waters to get into. God is an infinite God. And He's crying out deeper still. Come out deeper, come out deeper. To the day you die, God is going to be calling you deeper and deeper and deeper into His presence. So what's preventing you? I guess just be honest with yourself. In that story of Moana, there was a lot of things that were preventing her to go out past the reef. She had family members saying, "No, that's dangerous, don't do it." She had her own fears, the unknown. What will other people think? Lack of control. I don't know what's going to happen. And I want you to just maybe even today in this moment, just think about, be a little more contemplative and deep and think about what is it that's holding you back. It's that love-hate saying that goes through my head. Each one of us in this room have as much of God as we really want. If you're satisfied with the shallow waters, that's where you'll stay. If there's something within you that you just long for more of God, I promise you He will not deny you. But what is it? What is it that's keeping you? Is it complacency? Is it laziness? I've had to confess that several times before God. I read the Proverbs, and sometimes, I'm not kidding, it feels like a red-handed slap. Ryan, you are lazy. You're lazy. Yes, you love me, and I see the heart's desire, but I look at the time spent on other things. You're lazy. You're distracted. Sometimes my heart is pure and genuine, but it's my actions that are just lazy. Just even this time of prayer and fasting these last few weeks. I forget what I was. I was waiting. I don't know if I was waiting in line or I did something that every once in a while I pull out on my phone. You know, you got 5-10 minutes to wait for something. And I was just scrolling through and it was an app, just like a word search game. And I pulled it up. And as soon as I pulled it up to start to play the game, I totally felt convicted. It's like, God, I can't even play a video game. I'm like, what's wrong? Like, it's not bad. It's not wrong. And then it was just like, it wasn't this huge, like I fell apart in line and just crying. No, but I was just like, no. But I'd rather actually read a devotional. I would. The deeper part of Ryan would rather read something about who God is. My flesh wanted to just waste time and play a little video game. But see, something deeper within me was longing for God. And the Spirit of God in me was saying, Ryan, are you sure that's really what you want to spend your 5 minutes on? Playing a video game? Again, it's not wrong. It's not evil to play a video game. But when there's something in here that wants more of God, there's got to be an action behind it. There's got to be something behind it. What's the next slide I have? Is it Ezekiel? All right. So we're going to read this in a second. But there was someone who came to me, I would say, maybe even a month before I got this word of launch out into the deep. I won't share everything they said, but you know what? They spoke over us, not just me, but us as a church. And it was a, I don't know what you say, it wasn't a rebuke, but it was just a challenging word that I think a lot of us are complacent with those shallow waters. And so I'm going to read from you, Ezekiel. We're going to touch on this morning. I'm not going to preach in to the extent to where we get this all, but I would love for you to do some homework. Read this on your own. Ask God what this means in your own life. But I want to read through this and touch on a few things. And I think we'll talk about it more throughout this year. But this is Ezekiel 47, 1 through 12. It says this. Now he brought me back to the entrance to the temple. I saw water pouring out from under the temple porch to the east, the temple that faced east. The water poured from the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then took me out through the north gate and led me around the outside of the gate complex on the east. The water was trickling from under the south front of the temple. Verse 3. He walked to the east with a measuring tape and measured off 1,500 feet, leading me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,500 feet, leading me through water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,500 feet, leading me through water that was waist deep. He measured off another 1,500 feet. By now, it was a river over my head. Water to swim in. Water no one could possibly walk through. He said, "Son of man, have you had a good look?" Then he took me back to the riverbank. While sitting on the bank, I noticed a lot of trees on both sides of the river. Verse 8. He told me, "This water flows east, descends to the Arabah, and then into the sea of stagnant waters. When it empties into those waters, the sea will become fresh. Wherever the river flows, life will flourish. Great schools of fish, because the river is turning the salt sea into fresh water. Where the river flows, life abounds. Fishermen will stand shoulder to shoulder along the shore from En Gedi all the way north to En Gaglim, casting their nets. The sea will teem with fish of all kinds, like the fish of the great Mediterranean. The swamps and marshes won't become fresh. They'll stay salty. But the river itself on both banks will grow fruit trees of all kinds. Their leaves won't wither. The fruit won't fail. Every month they'll bear fresh fruit because the river from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing." There is so much truth and so much power and so much promise in this passage that there's no way that I can teach on it and explain it all and reveal it all today. But I'm praying the Lord continues to reveal this to me too. I don't understand everything that God wants to say through this. I know there's more. But I read those promises. I mean, if you just step back, if I just summarize what's going on, I know you just read all those verses. Hopefully you're kind of tracking what was going on. But Ezekiel saw something supernatural happening. The water began to trickle out of the temple. And it was supernatural in the sense that as it was a small water, that was trickling to begin with, as it went further away from the temple, somehow it got wider and deeper. That doesn't make sense. But as it traveled, it got wider and deeper. And he kept having Ezekiel pass through, back and forth, back and forth. And you know, the famous part, ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, to in over his head. As I go back and as I was sharing, someone gave me that word, they were saying that too many of us at Osborne are content with the ankle deep. That for years, maybe for a lifetime, we walk through ankle-deep waters. Oh, God's presence is glorious. He's so good. And we're satisfied with that. When the angel of the Lord is really wooing you, no. You got to go further. There's actually knee-deep water. And some of you, man, you went from ankle-deep and now you're in knee-deep. And man, like, you know what it is, and you're telling everyone else in ankle deep to come to knee deep. Like, man, you guys are missing out. The rest of us, we're still missing out. We think other people are missing out. We're all missing out. You're in waist deep? Great for you. There's still more. Till you're in over your head. And it might sound scary. You lose control. I can't breathe underwater. It's funny. Quick tangent. When you were formed in your mother's womb, you were underwater. Amen. Jesus said, unless you're born of the water and the Spirit, you have no part of my kingdom. I know the real interpretation is you have to be born of the water, breaking the water of coming out of your mother's womb, and then born of the Spirit, being born again, right? Nicodemus, that whole thing. I get that. But just right now, I was just prompted. Could be just this fresh revelation that you got to be born of the water and Spirit, meaning like you got to, the Holy Spirit comes in wind and fire. Water and Spirit. There's something about, you're not in the kingdom of God unless you're in over your head. If you're in ankle deep water, then you're content to get out of the water. But once you've tasted, once you've gone in over your head, hallelujah, you'll never be satisfied with ankle deep water. I'm sorry, I'm more emotional. I think just going through the fast and the intimacy with God, it's what I long for as church. It's what I long for myself. I think some of you tasted even during worship this morning. As Jen led the end of worship, there was still more. His presence is real. We talk a lot about His presence, but I don't think we really get it. And this is not a condemning word. This is not, oh man, I hope this doesn't come across that, like, I'm Moses. I know what it's been God's presence. The rest of you are heathens down at the bottom of the mountain. No, I'm not there either. But I want to lead us into the promised land. And that promised land is God's presence, the fullness of being just undone. There's deeper waters. I promise you, there's deeper waters. Amen. It might seem strange. It might seem scary. But it really is the goodness of God that lives there. And His presence is that fullness of joy, the fullness of fulfillment, of contentment, of that shalom peace, that wholeness that you long for. I know there's got to be people in this room that you're going through things or those waves of opposition. And man, you're exhausted. You're tired. Because you've just been going through the waves. You haven't made it to the other side. And I don't mean to say that analogy might break down at some point. I don't mean to say that once you get out into the deep, then you're past all the waves. What did that verse say? No, deep calls out to deeper still. But there's something about once you have gotten into the deep, the next time you go through waves, it's not the same. You're not going to fall out of the boat like that video we just saw. You're not going to lose hope. It's not going to be so difficult. Amen. That you can actually have the joy of the Lord in the midst of opposition hitting you and hitting you and hitting you. That it actually is not draining. You can actually get to the place where I think I say it at least once a month for the last 7 years. What Paul says, consider it pure joy when you encounter various trials and difficulties. Rejoice the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. That's not some far off fake thing. That's real. Oh, man. And I know I'm not fully arrived, but it even seems weird to say it, but I just feel like even in things, I hope that I can be a good pastor, a good shepherd, a good leader. That even as my sister passed away, I hope you're seeing, I hope you're taking inventory of my life. That was a huge wave that came against me. But I didn't fall out of my boat. I didn't lose the joy of the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
That Shabbat never stopped coming out of my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. God, your praise will always come out of my mouth. No matter what wave comes against me, I will bless you, God. Because I have tasted the deep. I have gone there. I wish I could say I live there every day. I don't. But I've tasted and seen the goodness of God. And I want to live there. I want us to live there. I want to take you there. I had, I think, like 10 more slides, a whole bunch more verses. I don't think we're going to get to those. Yeah, I think I'll even just do that. Daniel, if you can come up now. I know we got like 15 minutes before the service is over, but on purpose, I want to try to leave the last 10 minutes of this service to be different than a normal Sunday. If I'm saying that I don't want to stay surface level, that means you've got to change things up. So Daniel's going to come up and lead us in some more worship songs, but this isn't going to be just you stand in your pew and you just sing. I want this to be actual real ministry time, meaning you could be 100% on your own, on your knees before God, on your face before God. It could be you're praying and you're ministering to the people. I don't care what it looks like. But I feel like there's supposed to be something, some kind of response to this message that some of you, man, you're going through some stormy seas. And you need to be encouraged today. You need to be encouraged today. You need to be built up and edified. Some of you are in ankle-deep water. The Lord is calling you deeper still. And the whole other thing I was going to go into, I had tons of that verses for, was that you need living water. Jesus told the woman at the well in John chapter 4, man, if you drink this water again, you're going to be thirsty again and again. But if you drink the water I give you, you'll never thirst again. He says, a couple verses later in John, chapters later, he says, all you are thirsty, come to me and I'll give you rivers of living water that will spring up a well within you. This idea of living water, it's from Genesis all to Revelation. The living water. Tons of verses, tons of things to share with you on that. But maybe you need a drink of living water. Water can be that scary thing. At the same time, water is necessary. I can go 21 days without eating food. I just proved it. But I can't go 21 days without drinking water. I need water. And Jesus is saying, come to me. If you need water, come to me. And so we're just going to end. I know it's a little different. I think on purpose have clarity of all what it's supposed to look like. But I kind of prepped Nick that I might have him come up and give a word or share us what this next 10 minutes is supposed to look like. So I'm going to hand it off to Pastor Nick. And let me say a prayer as Nick comes up. So Lord, God, I thank you that in deeper waters, not everything's going to be mapped out. Not everything's going to be organized and understood. That in the deep, there's mystery. You are a mysterious God. I can't fathom you. I can't put anything around. I can't wrap my head around you. So instead, I choose to submit under you. And God, I confess with my lips again today that I'm hungry for you. I thirst for you. In a dry and weary land where there's no water, anyone else can give me the water that you can give. I need you. As the deer pants for water, God, so deep within my soul, I long for you. Forgive me for trying to fill that with other things, with stupid little video games, with TV shows, with things this world has to offer. God, with even good things, with my own children, with my own wife, they're good, they're blessings from you, but they can't satisfy me like you can. Only you have the living water that my soul longs for, that my soul cries out for. So Holy Spirit, have your way in me. Stir up the deep things within me. I don't want to live in shallow waters. I don't want to live in ankle deep waters. I want to go deeper. Call me deeper. Launch me out into the deep.